I am sure that you have all had them. They are quite exciting, almost exhilarating. You will remember this as long as you live. These moments come at some very exciting time in your life. They might be your confirmation, the very first time that you kissed a person when you were a teenager, your first home run, the birth of your first child, your wedding, catching your very first fish. This can be a mountaintop moment. Now, I have had numerous mountaintop moments in my life. I want to share one with you that I think that you can all relate to, and that is riding a bicycle for the very first time. I was probably 5 or 6. I remember vividly my dad running beside me, his very strong hand holding my seat there so I would not immediately tip over. My dad removed my training wheels. Now, I don't know about you, but I loved those training wheels. That was my comfort zone. But Dad kept saying, "No, no, you can do this. We'll do this together." I finally gave in, but I didn't like it. Dad would always start out with these 3 words: ready, set, go. At first, without Dad and without those training wheels, I was terrible. I cannot tell you how many times I fell. Oh, I really hope that the neighbors are not watching me right now. I felt so discouraged. I will be the only boy who goes into high school with training wheels on his bicycle. But my dad kept encouraging me. "You're getting better. Don't get so down on yourself. Let's try it once more. Ready, set, go." Suddenly, my confidence started to rise, knowing that he was now going to be there. He was going to be right next to me. And then I got better. I wasn't good, but I wasn't awful, because Dad was running right beside me. Suddenly, all those bad feelings went away. "I hope the neighbors are watching now. No more falling off this bike. No more skinned knees. No more that stinging orange stuff that my mom put on my skinned knees." And now I was full of confidence. "I really think that I can do this." And I remember my dad running beside me. "You're doing it. You're doing it. I am so proud of you." And all of a sudden, there he was running in front of me, a tremendous smile on his face. "You did it. You did it. Victory over fear." And that's when I realized that, being the mental giant I was at age 6, that how could Dad not be holding the bike when he's in front of me? I was doing it by myself. He wasn't holding my bike anymore. What a totally exhilarating moment. Dad running there right next to me. He could not stop smiling. My mom in the distance jumping up and down, clapping her hands. She was close to tears, and she kept saying, "I am so proud of you." Dad kept yelling, "Don't look down, don't look down, keep looking forward." That was a mountaintop experience I will never forget. And that's what it's like with our relationship with Jesus, the one that we can trust to always be at our side, the one whose very strong hands holds us upright, the one who sets you free to solo. He makes us this promise in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So what are those mountaintop moments in your life? If you ask that question to Peter, James, and John, they would probably say this very story in our gospel reading. St. Mark kind of gives us a very bare-bone account of the mountaintop story. Through the other gospel writers, we can kind of fill in some of the more pertinent details. We know that Jesus left most of his disciples at the foot of the mountain. However, he decided to take his 3 favorites, Peter, James, and John, up to the top of the mountain. For the context of this sermon, I would like to add one more person to his favorite list, and that person is you. Yes, you. Put yourself into this story. You are the 4th disciple. Picture yourself going up that mountain. Jesus is in the lead. Peter right behind him trying to keep up. A few steps behind them are James and John and you, bringing up the rear. You finally get to the top of the mountain and Jesus says, I need to pray. The four of you have had a long day and you decide that you are going to all take a little nap. As the four of you are now sleeping, the Bible says that he was transfigured. And this is what you missed while you were sleeping. His physical body was transfused. Not only did his face shine like the sun, but with a brilliance not of this earth. Even his clothes became like white glistening snow as the essence of light itself, beyond any power here on this earth. His garments started to shine with a brilliant resplendency, glistening, charged with an extraordinary and prodigious light. His entire appearance was of indescribable splendor. And then Luke tells us that he's suddenly talking to two men. And he writes, quote, Moses and Elijah appeared in glory, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Picture yourself with Peter, James, and John. You're now stretching, you're now rubbing your eyes, you're trying to wake up, and suddenly you cannot believe what you are seeing. Peter blurts out, let us make three booths right here on top of the mountain. St. Mark writes that Peter did not even know what he was saying. Typical impetuous Peter. You stare at Peter, you shake your head in derision and almost laughter, and you think to yourself, yep, this confirms Peter's reputation for only opening his mouth to change his feet. Two of the gospel writers, they describe their emotions at this time, and they use these two words, sore afraid. In the entire New Testament, this phrase, sore afraid, is only used twice. Once with the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, and the other is here in this mountaintop story. As you are standing there in the awe of the moment, you remember these words from St. Luke as he describes this Christmas story. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. You can now empathize with the shepherds. You know how they felt. Fear is a tremendously strong emotion, isn't it? And then at the pinnacle of you being so afraid, when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. A cloud comes on that mountain. Not a dark cloud, but a cloud of implausible light. A brilliance that is brighter than anything you could ever imagine. You look over at Peter, James, and John, and they stand there in absolute horror of the moment. And then you are all transferred into a state of absolute ecstasy. But at the same time, you're frightened out of your mind. Can this really be happening to us? You find that your feeble human eyes are not strong enough to endure the blazing light from this cloud of magnificent radiance. Suddenly you hear a voice come from that cloud, the voice of God the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Matthew writes that, quote, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. There are those words again. Have you ever been so frightened that you fell on your face? Me either. Picture the four of you, Peter, James, John, yourself. You're kneeling there on the ground. Your faces are literally touching dirt, groveling in fear and submission. And as you are kneeling down there, for some reason, you remember that beloved Christmas hymn, Silent Night. The third verse of that hymn keeps coming back to you. Radiant beams from thy holy face. This verse suddenly has new meaning to you. You would never be able to sing this hymn again without remembering this mountaintop moment. And then suddenly, it's over. Matthew writes the following, And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, don't be afraid." And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. Jesus in his natural form. But this spectacular experience that you just witnessed, you can never forget it. It has changed you. It has changed you. The problem, of course, is that we cannot recreate the event of the Transfiguration. This whole story is just so enormous, it's unmanageable. And I'm attempting to tell this story to the best of my ability, and it's still just so weak. Only in our imagination can we catch just a glimpse of his glory. But we can't capture it. All we can do is bend our knees, point in awe, and listen to some voice speak. The earthly word that best describes this is the word worship. In worship, we should be held captive in the moment. We are here. This is God's house, worshiping the God of creation who spoke the world into existence. We want to hear about a God that makes our jaw drop. Lord God, bend my knees in worship. And if I refuse, then break my knees in holy splendor. I want to hear about a God that is so holy that my eyebrows get singed. To have a God that knocks me off my feet and puts my face in the dirt. That is a transfiguration. That is our mountaintop moment. That is being intimate with Jesus, to see him in a state of absolute magnificence. But sadly, we can't keep that feeling going. We are sinners. We are feeble. We are so inadequate. And at some point, we need to come down from that mountain. From the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible tells us that Jesus walked off that mountain into the valley, into an earthly world of sickness, pain, and suffering. And that is where you are, into your own private world of sickness, pain, and suffering. And during those very intimate times, we have so many questions, but have we really listened to the answers? When you listen to God, you need to be silent. There, in silence, there is tremendous power. When you talk to God, have you ever thought how God must feel as you're doing all the talking? I think it has to be extremely frustrating for him. Okay, there goes Mark again, supposedly seeking my guidance, but he's doing all the talking. There's a time to just stop talking and listen. And that is what I hope you do these next few weeks. We are about to enter the time of Lent, a time of reflection, a time of penitence, a time to become closer to God, a time to be silent and listen to God. That is what God said during the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. It is time for us to listen. In this time of Lent, you are going to go through some very trying and difficult times. You will be back on that bicycle having the same feeling you had when you were a little child. But then you realize that the only person keeping you upright is not your parent, it's Jesus. So listen then in silence as he says to you, "Ready, set, go." That's it. You're doing it. You're doing it. I will help you get there. And during that time, you are going to have some doubts. And that is when you have to listen even more intently as he whispers in your ear, "Ready, set, go. Don't look down. Keep looking forward. I'm right there with you." And that is using your mountaintop moment down in the valley. And I pray that this next time of Lent, these next 40 days, that you can see something in that mountaintop moment that will help you